Good morning. It's 11:06 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and it's time now for the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center and the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. Our phone lines are wide open, by the way. This is a medical talk show, so if you have a question about anything we're discussing, give us a call at 206-1580, toll-free 888-441-1580. And now your host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Today, we have such a great guest. We have Chrisanna Harrington. I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But just so you know, I am getting a lot of feedback from people about the show. And one of the wonderful things I'm hearing is that we are so open here. We'll talk about all different topics that concern your health and your well-being. So what a wonderful idea to have a guest with so much training and has her own company. It's called the Nutegra Mental Health and Nutrition, Inc. And she's the president and owner. So welcome, Chrisanna. Talk about what you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on your show. And what we do, you know, I was listening Tuesday night, I was listening to NPR, and I'm an avid listener, and on Marketplace, the host was talking about any CEO he has on the show. He asked to summarize in five words, what does their company do? So in five words, I can tell you what our company does.
Great, tell us.
Make sense of your life. We help you to make sense of your life on an emotional level, a relationship level, as well as on a nutritional level, which we're going to be focusing on today. I am a registered dietitian as well as a licensed mental health therapist, and we have a licensed clinical social worker on staff. We have a PhD psychologist on staff. And we now have, as of this week, we've just signed our third dietitian. So we have three registered dietitians, one of which is a certified diabetes educator, Laurel Savoy.
That is incredible. What a great team.
We help, you know, the people who come into our office tell me, you're my last hope. They have been on every diet. They have been on every different medication to help them lose weight. And they gain it back with more. And so they come into my office and they say, you are my last hope. And what we do is we help put the pieces together to help them lead a healthy life.
Well, I know we have so many interesting things that you do in your office to help your patients in your practice. But I always like to have people kind of, you know, why is it you're doing what you're doing? Because here I am, my mission is to help prevention of disease. I help balance men and women's hormones, and give information in my show so people can understand more about their health and their body. But I think part of understanding is also why you, Chrisanna, why did you go down this path, this career path?
Well, I have to say, I've always been interested in nutrition. I was a teenager in the 70s, and I was the one who was eating the soybeans and and organic foods, if you know, whatever we could find. In the 70s, I was doing that. I have the original copy of the Vegetarian Epicure cookbook, which is I have the original, one of the original copies. So this has always been an interest of mine, and I just fell into it when I went to University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I fell into it. You had to declare a major junior year, and I happened to be good at sciences, and it was a natural fit for me.
Wow.
So, and that was 34 years ago. I received my I was a registered dietitian 34 years ago this October. So I have been living this. It's a passion of mine. And I think that probably around 1990, if you remember Susan Powder, She was the one, she was a housewife from, I think it was Houston or Dallas, that started jumping around saying, I lost 100 pounds by cutting fat out of my diet.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, everybody wanted fat-free this, fat-free that. And I remember I was living in Cleveland, Ohio at the time, and I belonged to the Dietetic Association. And we were talking about all of this, and we were going, wait a minute, this is just a fad. Nobody's going to follow this woman. Because we all knew, as clinical dietitians, that you need a healthy amount of fat in your diet.
The good fats.
The good fats. You need that. You know, fat does many things for you. Makes you feel full. So when you take fat out of everything, guess what? You never fill up.
And you're always hungry.
And you're always hungry. And so I think that started the obesity epidemic. Because everybody was looking at fat-free foods. And what happens when you take fat out of a food?
You push it up with carbos.
You push it up with carbos.
Carbohydrates.
That's it. They replace the fat with sugar. And so everybody's walking around with these high blood sugars. And now we have type 2 diabetes out the yin-yang.
So you feel that this is one of the major contributions then to this obesity epidemic?
I do believe that. And I also believe that the processed foods, do you remember the old commercials of Lay's potato chips?
You can only eat one.
You cannot only eat one. You just can't eat one Lay's potato chip.
I know they're salty, crispy, and greasy.
That's it. And there's a real reason why that combination works in the body to go to the pleasure centers of the brain. Just like alcohol, just like drugs.
Yep, dopamine.
Dopamine. It stimulates the dopamine receptors.
Well, have you seen the commercial now to the Mr. Potato Head? And oh, we have a caller. Hi, caller. What's your name?
Hi, it's Dorothy. I just want to say it goes, you can't eat one.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, bye.
Bye. You can't eat what? But it's true.
So I think that we have, excuse me, food manufacturers, it's been, if they sell more food, guess what? You get addicted to that food, you want it. And you're going to go after that food.
Well, what about McDonald's French fries? They're salty, crispy, and they coat them with something that makes them taste
wonderful, melt in your mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, not that I'm eating them, I just have tried them before.
So there's a whole component of addiction to eating the food. So you were asking me what has contributed to obesity. I think, first of all, changing whole foods and changing it to meet what people are asking for, taking out the fat. Oh, Susan Powder lost 100 pounds not eating fat. I'm going to do that too. And now we also have fat is makes hormones.
Exactly. You need the good fats to make hormones. And you need cholesterol, too. I mean, not so high that you're going to cause a heart attack and stroke, but that's part of the basis. Now, you feel that's also because of the children also getting the same reasoning for children becoming obese?
Yes, and well, I think there's a social part of that as well, that kids aren't running around in the neighborhoods like we used to.
Right, not riding their bicycles and playing with computers.
The activity level has gone down.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, we used to ride our bike everywhere in Port Charlotte. I grew up here.
That's right.
You told me that. So, I mean, I had a horse and we rode our horses too. But I know nowadays everybody has the video games and...
So there's decreased activity and I think fast foods, we used to have just McDonald's. And then Burger King, and it was a treat to go out to eat. And now going out to eat is part of just the daily routine.
Also, sodas.
Oh, don't get me started on sodas.
I tell people that there's at least 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of soda.
Not only that, but when you go and you get the 32-ounce sodas, you're looking at about 500 calories. And so people don't realize the calories that drinks contribute to their life
or
to their daily food intake.
My also concern is that a lot of people, a lot of patients, and I think, and children have no clue of what is a carbohydrate, what is a fat, what is a protein. I mean, just the basic nutrients of what we're putting in.
The three macronutrients, that's one of the things that we do in our office, Dr. Triana. We don't put people on diets. I say, no diets. Do not diet. I put no one on a diet. What we do in our office is we give you nutrition education, and we talk about what does carbohydrate do in your body and what makes up carbohydrate? What does fat do in your body and what makes up a good fat? What makes up an unhealthy fat?
Well, that's really great because I find patients who all find that they are new patients. They come in and I discover that they're, you know, they're a diabetic, which obviously they've had this problem actually for 10. When you diagnose diabetes, that person has already been having problems metabolizing sugar for at least 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
So in light of that, I will tell people, well, your blood sugar's high. Oh, I don't need any sugar. Because people think the only sugar they're eating is sugar. I had a patient, she says, I only eat fresh fruits. I said, well, fruit is fructose. Your body turns it into glucose. Glucose is your sugar. And that's what makes you diabetic.
Right. Right. People are very confused about what a carbohydrate is and where sugar fits in. And so we do that. One of the other things that we do is, and I think this is my passion, I help people embrace who they are. When I was growing up, we had big bone girls, and we called them big bone girls. We didn't say they were fat. We didn't say, you know, we just said she was a big bone girl. And one of the joys that I get is helping people embrace what their body is. And we do that by doing a bioelectrical impedance. So I can find out what the percentage of body fat is, you know, that they have.
That's interesting. How do you do that?
Well, people come in and I weigh them. I get their height. And the other thing is I don't like people to look at their weight. I may tell them, you know, you've lost 2 pounds, you know, you're stable, you didn't lose anything, so you're stable. Because I don't want people to focus on scale weight. What I want them to focus on is their percentage of body fat. So let's first of all look what is a healthy percentage of body fat.
Okay.
For a woman, 18 to 30, a healthy percentage of body fat is maybe 18 to 23%. For a woman 30 to 50, maybe 20 to 25%. And above 50, you want to be around 24, 25% body fat. You know why? Because we're aging. We need some fat under our skin so we don't show our age. Yeah. So around 25% is the top, maybe 26%. For a man age 18 to 30, 12 to 15%. For a man 30 to 50, maybe 15 to 18%. And then above 50, 18 to the low 20% body fat.
Okay.
And that's going to be normal and that's going to be healthy. And that's going to make it where your body is going to function the way it's supposed to be. Now, if you have too little fat, your body starts functioning. You have decreased mental acuity. And then also, your hormone production goes down.
Correct.
We see this in anorexics.
In marathon runners.
In marathon runners.
They stop ovulating. They stop having periods. And then they get osteoporosis. There's a lot of problems. And either extreme, too skinny or too fat.
Yes, exactly. So that's why we like to have people healthy and have a healthy percentage of body fat. So let's look at two examples. About not talking about scale weight. I'm going to give you two 30-year-old women. They're both 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
One woman weighs 160 pounds. She has a BMI of 28.
Are you going to talk to us about BMI, right?
Yes.
Some patients don't understand that. And I know you have a philosophy about that.
Yes. BMI is body mass index. And a healthy BMI is between 20 and 25.
Right.
19 is a little low. Below 19, you're undernourished. Between 25 and 29, you're you're overweight. You're considered overweight. Mm-hmm. And then 30 and above is obese. And there are different levels of obesity. I just did a BMI on somebody who had a BMI of 40.
That's morbidly obese.
That's morbidly obese. Exactly. So BMI stands for body mass index, and it's used as an indicator of health. Okay. Now, let's get back to these 30-year-old women, both of them 5'4". One weighs 160 pounds with a BMI of 28. The other one is 5'4" and weighs 106 pounds, and she has a BMI of 18. These are actually two actual patients of mine.
Okay.
The one who has a BMI of 18 has a body fat percentage of 29%. The percentage of body fat on the woman who weighs 160 pounds is 20%. So my question to the listeners is, who's healthier, the woman who weighs 160 or the woman who weighs 106 pounds?
So based on body fat.
Based on body fat, the woman who weighs 160 pounds is healthier because she weighs more, but she has lower body fat, which tells me
she has more muscle.
She has more muscle. And what burns calories?
Muscles.
Muscle.
That's very important.
They always would tell us that at the gym, because this is why resistance training is so important, not only for the cardiovascular benefits of it, but also for, you know, the weight bearing. It also helps with bones, helping your bones to be healthy. But also, I always thought you had, in order to lose weight, you had to do lots and lots of cardio, get on the treadmill, get on the stepper. And I learned later that that's an important component, it's not the whole story.
No, it's right. Not those three. So if anyone has a question, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and you're listening to the Dr. Triana Show, and we have here Chrisanna Harrington, who has a wealth of information. So call her, pick her brain. She's at 206-1580. We're going to take a tiny little break, and then we got more with Chrisanna, which is very interesting.
Another morning where you just drag yourself out of bed after hitting the snooze button 5 times. Now you're driving to work. It's like a zombie. That lack of energy and poor sleep every night is just one sign that your hormones may be out of whack. Time to get them back in balance with Bio-T. Both men and women need testosterone and suffer without it. And all you need is a quick little test. My testosterone was too low, my estrogen too high, and it meant that I was just foggy and irritable every day until I learned about Bio-T Medical. Bio-T is all natural. It's not synthetic. It's not those shots or messy creams that you hear a lot about. With Bio-T, all you need, 2-3 treatments a year, as opposed to painful shots that you're getting every week. Come out of the fog, feel youthful again, get that libido back up, feel happy, even maintain your weight loss.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990. For your appointment.
It's 11:24 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. It's back to the Dr. Triana Show and your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And we have a caller, Zane. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hi. Yes, Dr. Triana. Yeah, I heard the term the BMI, but how exactly do you figure it out?
Okay, we'll turn that over to our guest. Thank you for calling, sweetheart.
Okay.
We have Chrisanna Harrington, who is a nutritionist, registered dietitian, and a licensed mental health counselor, who has her own company, has a great staff here, and she hasn't even told us where her office is, which you need to tell us, sweetheart.
Okay.
Okay.
Our office is 25166 West Marion in Punta Gorda, Suite 113, and our office manager is Barbara, and you can reach her at 941-613-1790. That's 941-613-1790. And the caller was asking about how do you determine BMI. BMI is a calculation between height and weight. So what I do, what it is it's height squared. So that would be the height times itself. And then I have to, you know, I do it so much, I have to do it in my head. So you square that, and then you take that amount, and you divide that into the pounds, and then you multiply by 704. So it's a mathematical formula, and you can actually go on a lot of, like, insurance sites, and they already have it plugged in, so all you have to do is put in your height and your weight, and it will calculate it out for you.
But it's not a perfect calculation, correct? There are some, for example, bodybuilders who, when they do their BMI, or athletes who look like they're obese.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Right? In fact, they're really not.
They're not. My daughter's girlfriend does, or my daughter's boyfriend does bodybuilding, and he has a BMI of 30, but his body fat is 12%.
See,
so
yeah.
he is all muscle.
All muscle.
So
yeah.
So you could have a high BMI, but your body fat is low, and then you can't really go by BMI.
What is your website called?
My website is chrisannaharrington.com.
Okay. Spell that out so people can write it down.
It's C-H-R-I-S-A-N-N-A, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
So remember, if you have a question for our guest at 206-1580, it's very interesting. I had horses for many years, over 20 years. And the more you learn about horses and animals, it seems that people are more worried about the nutrition of their animals and what vitamins, mm-hmm. what mineral, what supplements, than even about people.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that. Because as a mental health therapist, people, if they don't have a good relationship with self, mm-hmm. and they do not value self, they're going to put their energies into their animals, other people, and that sort of thing. And there comes a time in your life when you, well, you know what the definition of insanity is.
No.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's why we don't do diets, because it's just insane. And I think people usually maybe, I get my patients are, you know, come in around 40 when they want to start really working on their life because they've been trying to do things and it hasn't worked. I'd say 40 and then 50, 60s, and we treat people from 13 to 90. You know, we treat people at all stages of life. But when you're focused on others, you don't have to deal with your stuff.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I have a prevention center, and I also balance men and women's hormones. And part of this, I say, is a good, healthy lifestyle. That's one of the cornerstones, nutrition, healthy lifestyle. I can help balance people's hormones and they will feel great, but it's the whole picture. And again, when I see a patient, I look at the whole person, and we also look to get at what is the root cause. Going back to the root cause, and we were talking about the obesity epidemic, and you were just saying a lot of women are caregivers, and you were just saying they give to others more than they give to themselves.
Yes. Yes, and not only women, we see men who do that as well.
Right.
And I think, you know, it goes back to when you're on an airplane and they're going through the whole safety drill about the airbags. And what do they say in the airplane? You put the airbag on yourself before you put it on your child. So if you don't take care of yourself first, you're not going to be able to take care of other people, nor do you show a good example to your family of valuing self. So so part of valuing self is being able to know what you need as far as energy. And that goes into calories. And that's the other thing. You know, people get a little overwhelmed and I say, okay, well, your percentage of body fat is this, but your muscle mass is this. And in order to maintain that muscle mass, you need to be eating X amount of calories. And they go, oh, my goodness. You know, they get overwhelmed with the calories. And I tell them, don't worry, because the dietitians, we take responsibility for that number. And we teach you how to eat so that you can make good choices and you can understand what you need to keep your body healthy.
But again, nutrition, food, it's so, and it's wonderful that you have both backgrounds, the mental health and the nutrition, because I know so many people, including myself, when my husband passed away, I tell my patients, I think I ate every carbohydrate America has ever produced. But I also use food not as a reward, too. You know, you work hard all day. You do great. Hey, let's go out to dinner. Let's go. You know, it's a reward. So there's such a complex relationship with food, which I see that in myself and in my patients. It's not just, as some people will say, they just eat enough food to live. It's very hard. There's a lot of emotional issues involved.
There are. And first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
What I look at is, it's kind of like the very first affirmation that I teach my patients is that you need to understand to eat to nourish, not to eat to destroy. Now, I think what you're talking about is eating to self-soothe. You were eating to soothe emotions because you were in so much pain. You just, the carbohydrate kind of numbs you out. It's almost like alcohol. It numbs. You know, and I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a medical doctor, but I do know in the Krebs cycle, and I also know being a clinical dietitian, that carbohydrate produces, when you metabolize carbohydrate, you produce more CO2 than you do if you're metabolizing fats. So I think that's, you know, the carbohydrate goes to the pleasure centers of the brain, and so you have more CO2 in your body. Also, with sleep apnea and that, you're going to have more CO2, so you're numbed out more. The carbohydrate numbs you out, you know. So
comfort food, that's why they call it.
Comfort food.
And that's another thing about food. It's very, in your culture or society. My family is Latin. I came from Cuba. The biggest insult you can give another Cuban family is they come to visit and you don't even give them a cup of coffee. It's, you got to give them food or you are very, very rude.
Well,
so culture also plays a role with our visions with food.
Yes, culture does. And it goes, and I think it goes to a cup of coffee is fine. A cup of coffee with half a cake is not fine.
How about arroz con pollo? Rice
that
and
sounds
chicken.
Great. You know, arroz con pollo, it's wonderful.
By the way, if my mother's listening, she is the most awesome cook. Cuban food, black beans, oh, the best black beans you could ever imagine from scratch.
And you know what you're talking about is you're talking about food from scratch that's homemade. And it's fine. It's healthy for you. Now, if you eat one plate, that's good.
Yeah, it's
if you're eating three or four plates, that's not so good. Are you eating to nourish your body or are you eating to destroy your body? And that's what we help people to understand. We give them the tools to eat to nourish. So the mantra is not, I'm eating to self-soothe. Because that's emotional stuff.
Right.
And we can deal with that in our office. We can help you with the emotional stuff. We can also help you to eat to nourish. Eating to nourish your body so that it is functioning the way it's intended to function.
That is so wonderful. Let's take our other break. Remember, the lines are open at 206-1580. Boy, this has been a great show. I'm learning so much.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified BioT physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the BioT website. That is BioTEmedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with BioT. Call me at 941-625-1990 for your appointment.
It's 1136 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. Once again, our studio line wide open at 206-1580 or toll free 888-441-1580. Back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and the Dr. Triana Show.
Oh, boy, I tell you, we're having such a great time here, learning so much. We have Chrisanna Harrington, who has just been giving us so much great information about nutrition and our relationship with food, too. And I myself have now lost 27 pounds. I'm very excited. But I will tell you, I have my issues with food. And I do love food. So I guess I'm a foodie. Anyways, so I'm here and talking to everyone, and I need to tell everybody, at our office, the BioT program is just catching on like wildfire. I have never in my life, and I've been practicing since 1985, yep, that's right, I'm 57 years old, seen so many happy patients. When you get your hormones balanced, you feel so much better. You have more energy. The women don't have any more hot flashes, night sweats, no more vaginal dryness, and sex is just great. And not only are the women happy, but their husbands are just ecstatic. It's like a rebirth. I'm telling you, if you have any issues, please call me at my office. Come to see me and my team. I have a great, great team at my office, which is at 3155 Harbor Boulevard. Now, also in Port Charlotte, our phone number is 941-625-1990. Also, I need to ask everyone out there, don't forget about the shoes for kids. We had Christy Smith on the show. I'm telling you, she was here. My ladies from my office were here. We did not have a dry eye in the house, did we, Zane?
No, we sure didn't.
She was talking about the little kids who don't have shoes. And she collects new tennis shoes. We have a collection box at our office. So please, if you just want to come by and see the office, bring us a new pair of tennis shoes. Get them on sale, elementary. I tell you, if you are an avid listener of this show, you know we were just all of us to hear these stories about these poor little kids who don't have shoes or are using old shoes or their shoes are too tight or they have cardboard in their shoes or duct tape. We were just every woman here was crying. I think Zane almost started crying too.
Oh, yeah. I'll admit it.
Okay. We're all teary-eyed. And Christy is... been doing this for over 10 years. Okay. She collected 4,500. So this is Shoes for Kids. They have a website. And she also has the Sunrise Kiwanis. So please, please, please. I think it's such a worthy cause. And 100% of your either money contribution or shoes goes to the kids. There's no administration. So they're all volunteers. Christy, I think, has a little halo, and her mom and dad, because they are such angels for these little kids. And they spend so much time and of their life, of their effort, to help the children and collecting the shoes. So don't forget, everybody. Please don't forget. So again, I want to welcome Chrisanna Harrington, and she's been speaking about nourish your body. Don't destroy your body. And you know, that is a very good philosophy, because so many people get to the point where they just eat and eat. And no matter how much you try to tell them how this is not good for them, obviously there is a underlying problem, which that's where you come in.
Right. And we used to call it eating disorder NOS. which means eating disorder not otherwise specified. So we would have anorexia and bulimia and then eating disorder NOS. And the, in the DSM-5, we now have, and I am thrilled,
because
we have a diagnosis called binge eating disorder, which
I have seen.
Binge eating disorder essentially has seven characteristics, and it's in the DSM-5, and the characteristics are as follows. Do you eat in a discrete period of time? For example, 2 hours or less. So while you're sitting there watching TV, in a discrete period of time, do you just continue to eat?
Like a grazer.
Like a grazer.
Like my horse used to do.
Do you experience a sense of lack of control or a feeling that you cannot stop eating or control how much you are eating? The next criteria is, when you are eating, do you experience three or more of the following symptoms? That you eat more rapidly than normal? That you eat until you feel uncomfortably full? Or are you eating alone because you feel embarrassed of how much you eat? You know, I have a lot of patients who will tell me that when they're in a social setting, that they just eat salads.
Oh, because they're scared of the social stigma.
The social stigma. But when they get home, they're popping those bags of popcorn in the microwave and eating three or four of them.
Oh.
So eating alone because of feeling embarrassed about how much you're eating. The next is feeling disgusted with oneself or depressed or feel very guilty after you eat. Do you feel much distress about your eating habits? And has this pattern of eating occurred once per week for at least 3 months? Most of my patients, it's occurred most of their life.
I would say for years and years.
For years and years. It's an established eating pattern. And so, and then I ask, and I have a summary of the binge eating disorder inventory on my website. It's under the weight control and under the gastric surgery tab. And I have this questionnaire as well as the Beck depression inventory and the Beck anxiety inventory under the gastric surgery tab, simply because I would say probably 80% of the people that I have seen for gastric surgery have binge eating disorder and or a combination of depression and anxiety. And those, Dr. Triana, are what you call the root causes.
Well, the thing is, I have had patients who through the years I've seen, and they have had gastric surgery, they lost all their weight, then they gained it all back and much, much, much more.
Yes.
And like you were saying, they didn't treat the root cause, which was the binge eating.
Correct.
Or their relationship with food.
Relationship with food. Yes, that there's an addictive component to it, that there's an emotional component to it. There's a shame component to it. And so being able to manage all of that and get into recovery.
Yeah. But, you know, again, society does. If you look through magazines and everything, it's always the very, very skinny, tall, you know, the concept of beauty changes. And personally, I like to watch Spanish TV because a lot of times, because the girls are more curvy.
Well,
you know, and I want to be like that. I mean, I'm never going to be like, you know, a 5'10" stick, which is, you know, like you see the supermodels, they're very tall, very skinny, or extremely young.
More magazine in the early 2000s, I would say, did a piece with Jamie Lee Curtis. And what they did was Jamie Lee Curtis on the front page of the article was airbrushed. And she looked very sexy, and she looked just, you know, wonderful, and what society would consider sexy and wonderful. And then you turn the page to where she's not airbrushed, and you see the real Jamie Lee Curtis.
And I'm sure she's still just as beautiful.
She is just as beautiful and real.
I mean, did you see that movie True Lies? That is such a funny movie. That was one of my husband's favorite movies. It was hilarious.
So I think that, yes, we do get set up for an unrealistic concept of what beauty is. And that has to do with marketing. And I think a lot of companies are now addressing that.
Yeah, some of the magazines you'll see the women where they're literally, you can count the bones in their chest. You can see their clavicles. I mean, it's ghastly.
Well, that's being undernourished. That's being undernourished.
I don't even think it looks pretty.
Yeah.
And you know, and then everybody's how many men really have those perfect six packs? Like they're showing the Magic Mike, you know that movie?
Yes.
I get this magazine that I love. It's called Entertainment Magazine. And the cover is all these men who are perfect. Perfect. You know, their physique. And of course, they're movie stars.
Well, you know, I think that goes into a whole, that's another area that's not talked about very much. And that is that men have eating disorders as well. You see it in wrestlers. You see it because they have to make weight. You see it in wrestlers, and you see it in men, and they have just as much pressure, I think, as women do.
I agree. I think there is a lot of pressure, and also there's a lot of pressure on, even though there's an obesity epidemic in children, there's a lot of pressure, especially in teenagers. You must see that in your practice.
You know, it's interesting because we don't, we get people who are under-eating as teenagers. We don't see, for some reason, the parents don't bring the teens in if they're overweight. But if they're anorexic and they're close to death, that's when they're coming in.
I see.
So, yes, I think it's something that, you know, the teens, and again, it's being able to embrace your body. Embrace the body that you live in. And make it as healthy as possible.
Well, and like you said, your self-image. Like Princess Diana, they said she was a bulimic and had runs of anorexia. And she did not have and everyone in the world thinks she was the most beautiful thing. She did not have a good self-image.
You know, no, she did not. And again, there was attachment and trauma in her childhood. So going back to having a healthy relationship with self.
The root cause.
The root cause. Being able to value yourself, being able to embrace yourself the way you were made, and feel comfortable in your own skin.
So the binge eating disorder, I know they're having a lot of, because they have a medicine. We're not here to talk about the medicines today. I want to focus on nutrition. But it is coming more and more out to the forefront.
Oh, yes, because of the diagnosis in the DSM-5. That there, it is a diagnosable condition. It's not. There are medical factors in the diagnosis. Certainly, diabetes type 2. You can have renal disease. You know, you can have many of the comorbid conditions that go along with obesity, but. The root cause, or it is a psychiatric diagnosis.
Yes, and that's what the DSM, I think you need to tell our audience, they may not know what is the DSM. It's the book.
It's a Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Okay, and that's the kind of like
It's the Bible.
The Bible for mental health, right?
Yes, yes.
I think that's because... You know, we know those anacronyms, but our audience may not know all those, you know.
Yes.
Okay. So in your, you have, by the way, you have a great CV, going through everything, and you've written all kinds of articles. And I see that part of, not only do you help people who come to your office, but you go, for example, to nursing homes.
Oh,
tell me about that. What is it that you do there?
Well, we contract. We actually have 4 facilities now, and we contract to provide nutritional services and also mental health services. And we have 4 area nursing homes that we do that with, and I am happy to say that all 4 are five-star nutrition departments. So I'm very happy to say that we help to keep the kitchens functioning and the residents healthy from a nutritional aspect. And then we also have Kristen Jones, who's our licensed clinical social worker. She sees patients to help do one-on-one therapy to help them process what Erickson calls the last stage of life, which is integrity versus despair.
Okay. And that's the one thing I see in my patients who are getting much older. The focus changes. For example, the younger were worried about the obesity, but a lot of my older patients, and hello, caller, what's your name?
Hello.
Yes. Hello, caller, what's your name?
Yeah, hi, my name is Alonzo Ames. I'm with U.S. Health Advisors. The reason I'm calling, we provide healthcare solutions. Do you have health insurance right now?
Go ahead, Zane.
Yeah, this is a live medical talk show. You're on the air on WCCF.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have a great day and good luck to you guys. Take care.
That's cute. Thank you.
Wow.
So our show is about to wrap up. So if you have any questions with Chrisanna Harrington, who is here as our guest, please give us a call at 206-1580. So going back to the focus changes, a lot of the older patients, they lose their appetite. They don't nourish their body. That's a whole end of the spectrum. Instead of the patients, mostly that a lot of my patients that I see who are younger, who are worried about trying to lose weight or be healthier, which is, again, I feel is the most important. Plus, I balance patients' hormones, which it all works together. But the patients who are much older, a lot of times I say, geez, I wish I had that problem. They have no appetite.
They have no appetite. And then if they do eat, they don't necessarily absorb it the way you do when you're younger. The way I talk about that elderly weight loss is as we age on the outside, we're aging on the inside. And so our villi that are the fingers in your intestines to absorb the food, they kind of atrophy as well. So you could maybe eat 2,000 calories when you're 90 years old, but you're not going to be absorbing all 2,000. So significant weight loss in the elderly is something that we certainly address. More so in the nursing homes.
Right.
And so essentially what we do is we fortify food. We make oatmeal with butter and sugar or sweet and low if the person...
I love it. I love...
If the person, depending if they're diabetic or not, will use sugar substitute or regular brown sugar and butter and cream. We use a lot of cream and gravies because it's fat. And fat has more calories per gram. And so it's going to be long-term energy. And they can eat 2 teaspoons of the oatmeal that's fortified, and they're going to get as many calories as maybe eating, you know, a half a cup of a non-fortified cereal.
Yes, I mean, I see that a lot. Or they eat a little bit, fills them up quick, like you said. Or they live alone, they don't want to cook, they just want to use the microwave. So I'm talking about people at home.
You know, that's a whole nother part about social isolation with the elderly. And yes, absolutely. How do you have an appetite when you're just sitting there by yourself, listening, watching the news, or you know, really it's when we're around people and we're having a dinner conversation, lots of people around, lots of activity, you're going to eat more just because you're more social.
Yes, well, you know, again, in our society, it's let's get together for lunch, let's do dinner, let's go out to the club, let's go to happy hour. You hear the people talking about that all the time.
So, and I have a fix for that, because what I've noticed is that when eating becomes an activity, you need to be aware of that, because it's an activity, and then you're not eating to nourish your body. But you want to do the activity because you want to be social.
Right.
Absolutely, and that's healthy. But at the same point in time, you need to have behaviors around that so that you are still eating to nourish.
It's much easier to watch what you eat when you're by yourself or you don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
For many people. And some people, it's the opposite, like you said.
And some people, it's the opposite. One of the things when you're younger, and like just to give you an example, one of the very first things that I teach people is this is your meal plan every day, but when you're going out to eat, you need to, if you're drinking wine, you need to eat no bread and you need to have no starch on your plate. Because the wine is going to add extra calories. So, you know, one of the things I always have joy when our clients come in January and they weigh in after the new year, and they're so worried that they're going to lose weight or that they're going to gain weight. Yes. And they step on the scale and I go, you know what? You maintained or you lost. And they thought, oh my gosh, but I really pigged out or I really ate off my meal plan. But the body always works to preserve itself. So if you're eating to nourish your body on an everyday basis, that 10% of the time when you're off of it, the body's going to know how to compensate because the body always works to preserve itself.
Right. And that's part of when we treat patients with hormones, to balance their hormones, and with diet and exercise. We call that age management. It's also called integrative medicine. And that's including the whole picture. And I think part of the problem with our medical picture is that people always go to treat disease. Instead, we should be treating, again, the root cause to prevent disease. So we're it looks like we're getting pretty close to our time. Chrisanna, tell us again, where's your office, the name of your company, your phone number, somebody would like to call and get an appointment with you.
Our company is Nutegra Mental Health and Nutrition. Our address is 25166 West Marion Avenue in Punta Gorda. And our phone number is 941-613-1790.
And you said you also have registered dietitians, people who have diabetes can go see you.
Yes, we have a certified diabetes educator. We have a psychologist and a licensed clinical social worker.
So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and I'm very, thank you so much for being a guest today. This has been wonderful. So in the future, we're going to have Chrisanna another time, and we're going to talk about food and
sex. Food sexy.
I think that's great. Because I'm also going to be giving lectures and talks or lectures for people, different organizations. And it's called The Birds and the Bees and Sex After 50. So I think that's really important. I talk about intimacy, you should always have an intimate life. So this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana on the Dr. Triana Show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Chrisanna Harrington. Give her a call. She could help you. And thank you, Zane. And God bless.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte. Coming to you from the Grand Air Services Studios. Award-winning air conditioning, refrigeration, and appliance repair in Southwest Florida.